You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two of the Roto Experts is live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Alongside Corey Parsons, Scott Engel, and Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. And gentlemen, let's talk about this running game from Washington. We talk about top free agent waiver wire pickups. You have to talk about the running game in Washington. Rob Kelly may have fractured his ribs yesterday. And 12 carries for 78 yards. Later, he leaves. That brings in Samaje Perine, who Scott promised us would start by week four, and he may have been given a gift from God, given the fractured ribs of Rob Kelly. So Perine carries it. So Kelly had 12 for 78. Sam Perine had 21 carries in less yards, 67 yards, and a non-efficient performance from
Kelly. He's not ready.
So Perine may be out there in your leagues. Chris Thompson could be out there in your leagues. Thompson carried the ball just three times, but rushed for 77 yards and two touchdowns. Also caught three balls, 29 yards. It's funny, if you watch the game, you even thought he was more involved than he was because he's always scoring. But a couple of big plays here, a couple of big plays there, and that's Thompson's day. I don't know if he's going to be reliable going forward.
Yeah, because that's the thing. We're talking about how he's just not in sync with his wide receivers and Reed can't stay healthy. So Chris Thompson's become a really nice alternative for him, but you know, if he starts, Crowder starts getting back up to speed, the connection gets better with Pryor, it's going to be boom or bust.
Wait a minute, but you just told me he's a really nice alternative for him. You know, he caught three passes.
Right? What I'm saying, every time he touches the ball, though, it seems like he explodes. You know, it's just like you saw last week's touchdown. It was beautiful. Every time he's getting the guy's getting his hands on the ball, he's making plays. But like you say, he's not going to be reliable.
He caught three passes for 29 yards. Like the passing game, it wasn't a very good game at all for Chris Thompson, in all honesty. Like, yeah, he was explosive running the ball out of the draw plays. But if we're talking about these two monster plays that he had running the ball, he only got three carries. He only caught three passes. That means he only touched the ball six times yesterday.
Yeah, but what were his total yards, though?
His total yards were about 100.
Yeah.
That's good.
A good day.
Sure. It's sustainable
he's like
in any way.
That Shane Vereen, Darren Sproles type kind of guy. You're gonna
put those guys touch the ball more.
Well, I mean, Chris Thompson usually is involved in the pass. He's their passing.
But no question about it. But Scott just told me how not in sync Washington is. If they get more in sync, it's going to be even less touches with Chris Thompson.
That's what I said that, though.
I said that.
No, I said yesterday that, because he wasn't in sync with the other guys, that they used using Thompson.
But they
like
didn't,
you said,
though. That's my point. They didn't. He had six touches. They didn't use him as much as you think they did yesterday. That's my point. You said because they're not in sync with the other guys, they're with Chris Thompson, but they didn't. He had six touches total.
It's a risk. When you put him in your lineup, it's very risky.
Extremely risky.
Because he could touch the ball six times.
And not have 100 yards.
And not score two touchdowns. You feel what I'm saying?
Correct.
That's why I'm like, okay, I see the love for Chris Thompson. Put him in your lineup. Win.
Right.
There you go right there.
I agree with that.
That makes you nervous when it comes time to put him in your lineup because he doesn't touch the football enough.
Correct.
But maybe with this injury to Kelly, he'll start touching the football more.
I think that would help.
It is, but still, I found it interesting that second half, Samaje Perine carried the ball 21 times, and then it really going to Chris Thompson all that much more. Just saying.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he's going to get this. Hey, listen, it's time to pick him up now. Let's see what he got. I don't think he got nothing.
We'll find out. Hey, on the other side, we get to the Rams. Todd Gurley. That guy's got something. Talk about that next.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network, the Roto Experts in the morning. It seems that, Matt, all the questions about if Todd Gurley was dead or not last week
they've been answered.
He must have, you know, risen because he was jumping over people yesterday. I mean, he's yet to get 100 yards rushing, but it's the argument was, and Mike Florio brought this up, why aren't people worried about Melvin Gordon, this and that? But as long as Gurley's going to be the three-down back, catch passes, and get all the goal line work, that's the recipe for success, right? And he looked pretty damn good in the passing game as well. Like I said, hurdling over people is a very nice attribute.
Twice yesterday he hurdled over people. Once for the touchdown, 16 carries, 88 yards for Todd Gurley. In the passing game, 3 for 48 and a touchdown for Todd Gurley. Extremely good day there. Gerald Everett caught a nice pass down the sideline and went deep. He finishes the leading receiver for Jared Goff, 3 for 95. Cooper Kupp led this team in targets with 6, only 3 for 33. But Sammy Watkins, Scott, this is an issue now. 2 catches, 30 yards for Sammy.
Yeah, he just, you know, he got that, a lot of that shadow coverage yesterday, and he had 125-yard catch, and other than that, he was pretty silent. You know, it's, playing with Goff as opposed to Tyrod Taylor, you know, his value is certainly going to take a hit, as talented as he is, and Goff really has radar for Cooper Kupp. Like, on that game-winning interception, it was Kupp that he was targeting. But yes, things should eventually open up for Watkins. You just can't rely on him. And back to Gurley, like, you know, when you watch him, you never get the feeling he's going to break a big play as a runner. But when they get him out in space, you know, he does do things after the catch.
Well, the thing was, Washington, if you watch that game, made a concerted effort at the half to take Cooper Kupp out of that game. It was actually even before the half started, to take him out of that game. He had his 6 targets, and he had his 3 catches for 33 yards in the first half. Just was a yard shy of that touchdown. But once they saw that, and they just game planned to get him out of there. They were not going to let Cooper Kupp beat him, and that's what they did.
And that's exactly what they did yesterday. Now, Mike Florio threw something out there last week about, as when people were killing Todd Gurley, he wondered if he should also kill Melvin Gordon for his yards per carry as well, and said, tried to find the similarities. Well, this week, yards per carry-wise, didn't really get much better for Melvin Gordon. Chargers fell this one, 19-17. Young Wei Koo, missing another kick at the buzzer. Brutal loss for the Chargers here in their L.A. debut, which did not go well for the NFL, by the way. The L.A. did not want any football teams. Now they have 2, and nobody goes to watch either of them.
But yeah.
They've had a pro team for years. It's the USC Trojans. Like I said, I lived in L.A. Yeah. when the Trojans had Carroll, and they were, you know, national championship team and all that. I don't know if, you know, they really want football in Los Angeles, to be honest with you.
I think it's very clear they don't. They certainly don't want 2 teams. That's for damn sure.
No. And you saw this yesterday, and just, you know, like all those empty seats. Like
the USC Trojans on Saturday night versus Texas.
I saw this.
Had more fans than the Rams and Chargers combined.
Chargers need to go home to San Diego.
With Gordon yesterday, it's like befuddling because that linebacking crew of Miami is so vulnerable. Lawrence Timmons just up and left the team, and you don't even know why. And they're just like, he was able to like salvage things in the passing game. It almost looked like Gurley in week one.
Yeah, you know, Melvin Gordon, here's the line, 9 carries, 13 yards. And it was crazy because he got a touchdown, but they gave it to the fullback twice before giving it to Melvin Gordon. And I saw fantasy owners losing their minds on Twitter about this. In the passing game, Gordon was much, much better, 7 receptions for 65 yards, so really saved the fantasy day there. But you don't like to see 9 for 13.
Well, I mean, look, I heard after week one all about the top quarterbacks, everybody was going after them. Look week two. Look at all these top running backs. I mean, Le'Veon Bell did get like 13.7 points.
Sure.
But Zeke did nothing. McCoy did nothing. Gordon got saved by the touchdown and the volume that he got. But, I mean, 9, as you just stated, 9 rushes, 13 yards.
Sure.
Jordan Howard, another 0 game.
You look at the fact that he got the receiving yards, but he didn't get the rushing yards. Says something, A, about the offensive line, too, and B, you know, they're going to have to continue to throw the ball to him in space and let it be an extension of the run because he's not creating his own running room.
He's not, but it's good to see him involved in the passing game.
Yeah, it is. It certainly is because you didn't see a lot of that last year.
Absolutely.
And that's why volume is king.
No question about it. We'll get to this more volume on the other side of this game as well. It was one of the RB1s that we're not letting you down. Keenan Allen, 9 receptions for 100 yards, targeted 10 times. He is back. And yep. It feels really good to say that. That love me some Keenan
I Allen. Do love how you guys turned Frank Stanfill on our Best Friends Forever.
He's great.
He's enchanting it too.
He chants it reluctantly now.
He's on board with it.
Matt, we sat here last week killing you over Hunter Henry, so we have to give it to you now. 7 receptions for 80 yards for Hunter Henry. Antonio Gates was targeted 4 times on the red zone. And he gets the touchdown. He breaks Tony Gonzalez's record. I'll say this. It's going out of limb. It's crazy. It would not shock me today if Antonio Gates retires, honestly.
I don't think Antonio Gates is retiring, but I tweeted this out on like Tuesday or Wednesday because all I heard was people wanted to drop Hunter Henry and all this. And I put a tweet. The combination of Gates and Henry last year were targeted by Philip Rivers 146 times.
Yeah.
They produced 15 touchdowns. You want your wide receiver one to, get 15 touchdowns and be targeted. So.
It was matchup extremes in two weeks. Because you had Denver week one, and then you had that awful Miami linebacker core yesterday. It was a great spot for Henry to rebound.
Sure. And Scott, you're 100% right. So week one, that combo was targeted 3 times, and there was 2 receptions for Gates for 17 yards. They made a concerted effort to pass block to protect the quarterback at Denver.
Yeah, they obviously did. Good to see Hunter Henry just absolutely dominate with those 7 receptions, and I think he'll be going forward. I think he'll certainly be a safer option.
Look, he was one of the best players in their camp. I'm not saying you can rely on this guy every week. I never said he was, a top 5 tight end. But this is one of the most talented players on their roster.
Certainly, certainly. Let's go to the other side of things. Corey, you were super awful for Jay Ajayi coming into this year.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you're going to be wrong, but after week one, all these running backs let you down. Jay Ajayi did not carry the ball 28 times, caught 100 for 122 yards, did not find the end zone, but he looked every bit the same as he did last year, which is obviously very, very good.
Yeah, so far you got to like how the way coming out in game one, week one for the Dolphins, Jay Ajayi looked like going to be a big part of that offense. Able to carry the football like that, they're still getting him involved, and he's running the football well. So until he gets hurt, you can roll him out there.
Yeah, here's the truth about that Dolphins offense. It's like they can't. We all called Cutler was going to gun everything, and maybe like he wouldn't. Jai wouldn't be as big of a role as we thought. But then 28 carries, and Cutler, didn't have to. He could be more efficient and not make mistakes yesterday. Threw jump balls to Devontae Parker. That's what you want. Otherwise, it was peppering Landry and, like Tannehill used to, and it was Ajayi running the ball. Look, you watch Ajayi on film, the guy looks physically, you can even see with the naked eye, he could go down at any time because it's just like a very awkward running style that he has. But while he's in there, you got to ride him. You have to ride him despite the minor concerns.
Well, most NFL coaches lie to us, and that's like a running theme. But yesterday, there was truth to what the Dolphins said all offseason. Jay Ajayi was in there on 64 out of 68 snaps. Can he hold up with this workload and, the knee soreness that was reported earlier in the week? That remains to be seen. But, everything they said about this is the guy, we're going to feature him, we're going to feed him, came to fruition, at least in their first game. And he's got the Jets and he's got the Saints in his next 2 games. So if you're a Jay Ajayi owner, you're feeling pretty good right now.
You're living large at the moment. Receiving-wise for Miami, Jarvis Landry was targeted 15 times, so it certainly sounds like rumors of his demise were overstated this summer.
That's one of the biggest stories of yesterday.
That's what I was talking about.
Yeah, was the Jarvis Landry target share and how Jay Cutler came in there and did the same thing basically Ryan Tannehill has been doing. Sure. Peppering with Jarvis Landry.
With one notable exception.
He looked better doing so.
He threw the ball. He just threw the ball to Devontae Parker. Ryan Tannehill would just never do that.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Parker was able to get his 2, obviously more aggressively throwing it down the field. But as far as that intermediate, the short passing game,
still there.
That's still Jarvis Landry territory. You got him in 7th round a couple weeks ago. You're cooking right now.
Yeah, I was wrong yesterday by being stubborn and staying all in on Diggs and Thielen. But what I was right was when I said, Jarvis Landry versus Trevor Williams over Devontae Parker versus Casey Hayward, if these matchups are hold true today, and he just ate.
Was worried about his knee, and I was wrong on that, obviously. But I still think you will see Landry be more of than what he was yesterday. I think with Cutler throwing the ball, Landry will get an opportunity to score some more touchdowns this year.
Who would you guys rather have going forward, Jarvis Landry or Devontae Parker?
In the PPR, I still think Landry's going to be involved. I think Parker does have tremendous upside.
You okay, Scotty? Give me some water. All right.
Yeah, I think there's tremendous upside with him. You know.
Okay. Who would you rather have, Corey? Devontae Parker or Jarvis Landry?
I'd rather have Devontae Parker.
Landry in a PPR, Parker in a standard.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll continue to talk some NFL week number two. It's Road Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Road Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And guys, you said that given the schedules and given how he looks in the first couple of weeks, Trevor Siemian may finish very well as a quarterback one. And yesterday was certainly going on the path toward that. Broncos defeated the Cowboys by the score of 42-17 yesterday. And Trevor Siemian looked very good doing it. 231 yards passing, four touchdowns to wide receivers that seemingly were open all afternoon. And the best part is about Denver, and we say it all the time, you know where the production's going to come from. Both Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas had eight targets apiece. Emmanuel Sanders was wide open on a brilliant play for that second touchdown. 6 for 71 for Thomas, 6 for 62 to Emmanuel Sanders. No other Bronco had more than three targets. No other Bronco had more than 36 yards receiving. It was a very good day for the Broncos that you knew would do well. Thomas and Sanders, and certainly C.J. Anderson as well. Anderson looked as good as he has in 3 years. 118 yards rushing, went a touchdown, 36 yards receiving, and a touchdown. Really good day for the Broncos offense. Really good day for Trevor Siemian, Corey.
Yeah, Broncos offense was rolling yesterday. They were up and down. They were up and down the field. They played very well. The way Mike McCoy had it schemed up, Trevor Siemian was excellent. They were able to run the football with no problem. Definitely, they dictated the tone and the tempo of the football game. So, very impressed with the way the Denver Broncos looked yesterday. Trevor Siemian is a player that I'm buying because Mike McCoy is scheming that offense. He's going to be very aggressive. And this is the week that you go put Devontae Booker on your fantasy team because next week he'll be a part of that mix out there too.
Yeah, you know, you look at Denver, Scott. All right, we talked about Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas, sure, but what impressed me the most was C.J. Anderson because we keep talking about players left for dead. C.J. Anderson is one of these guys. Like, nobody at this table wanted C.J. Anderson. Whenever we sat here and we looked at it, we're just like, oh, I don't want to get involved with this. Corey's been all about Devontae Booker. Jamal Charles is involved. Not that we really expected much for him. But C.J. Anderson was one of these RB2s that we just looked at and said, let the mouse in the house get him, right? We wanted nothing to do with this guy. And I'm not saying that for the rest of eternity he's going to be good. But listen, right now, this is the back that we wanted a couple of years ago. He looked really good yesterday.
Yeah, right now, at least now, it doesn't look like Devontae Booker is going to make much of an impact if Anderson keeps running like this. I mean, he was bouncing off of tackles, slipping tackles, involved in the passing game, and just gave them so much offensive balance and allowed them to kind of flip the script on the Cowboys, and they dominated the time of possession. And, you know, Trevor Siemian yesterday, everything was set up for him perfectly to succeed because he got the help of the running game. He had two fine wide receivers with an excellent matchup. And just everything was just set for him, and Anderson. Everything was set for Siemian to perform really, really well. And Anderson looks like, remember that first year, like when he down the stretch when he had those eight good really games. That looked like the same guy yesterday.
Well, the thing with Siemian and what I'm taking away from these first 2 weeks is week one versus the Chargers, he didn't force it to the outside to Sanders or Thomas. He used the guy. He took what was given to him. He went to Fowler. He used the tight ends. And yesterday, he exploited it when he had the opportunity with Manny Sanders and even with Thomas. But he still, once again, used a tight end. He does like throwing the ball to Benny Fowler, though. That is really a thing. Benny Fowler was he couldn't stay in bounds on that touchdown play. I'm just saying, Benny Fowler and Siemian do have a rapport.
have a report, but Benny Fowler's probably concussed after yesterday as he banged his head really hard on that turf. It looked bad for Benny Fowler, to be honest with you. On the other side of things, for Dallas, now, Corey likes to talk about how it's really a ball control offense, and the way that you beat Dallas, you stop the run game, and you don't allow them to work the clock, and that's exactly what Denver did yesterday. Ezekiel Elliott had really the worst game of his career. 9 carries, just 8 yards, 4 receptions for 14 yards. I mean, it was a while before he had even a single yard rushing, so a brutal game for Ezekiel Elliott. You saw all the comments on Twitter saying that Denver suspended Ezekiel Elliott yesterday. Dak Prescott also had probably the worst game of his career yesterday as well, throwing for 238 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. There were some lines on Twitter that Jason Garrett called out Dak Prescott in the press conference yesterday. I wasn't sure if that was sarcastic or not, or he making a joke, but he basically said
the passing game has to be better.
And he said the quarterback needs to make plays, is what he said. And I don't know, again, if he was really calling out Dak, or if Jason Garrett was legitimately pissed off, but he called out his quarterback yesterday and said he did not do enough. Obviously a brutal matchup, but Dallas did not look good yesterday, Corey.
No, the offense. Once you saw them not being able to get Zeke going, and they got in that negative game script that they're not used to.
Correct.
I mean, he doesn't play like that. So, no. That helter-skelter game style doesn't fit what Dak Prescott wants to do, and he wasn't able to get that done. So, they definitely struggled big time.
Jason Witten, 10 receptions, 97 yards.
I love Jason Witten.
He's ageless. He's now, I believe, 4th all-time in receptions in the NFL, passing Marvin Harrison, which is crazy.
That is crazy.
Crazy. And then Dez Bryant was targeted and obscene 16 times yesterday. 7 catches, 59 yards, and a touchdown.
That's helter-skelter.
16 times!
That's a helter-skelter game script. You just drop him back and throw him the football wherever you can find a player at.
Hey, look, yeah, you know what, though? There were so many questions yesterday about, should I bench Dez? Should I bench Dez?
No, you don't bench him.
You don't bench him. You know, that's matchup over analysis. You know, he got his touchdown. You know, I said, you know, that was going to make or break his day. And nobody, not even Talib, you know, can cover Dez one-on-one in, you know, near the end zone. And he just got peppered with a ton of targets, so at least, you know, the receiving numbers ended up being respectable.
I have no problem with Jason Garrett calling out Dak Prescott. Look, this is the NFL. This is not Papa Warner. This is what you need to do. Prescott's got to be better. The thing with Dez, I mean, look, you got to love the targets. They're not going to go away from him, but what has he got, 9 catches and 107 yards after 2 games?
Yeah, he'll be all right.
Yeah, he'll be all right.
He'll be all right.
Listen, I agree. I think Dak Prescott's gonna be fine. Corey's right that this game script worked very, very poorly for the Cowboys. This is not how they win football games. You rely on the running game, and then you let Dak do his thing. You don't want to rely on the shoulder of Dak Prescott to win football games.
Vegas right now,
from a fantasy perspective, though. If Dallas is winning, Dak's going to be very efficient,
yes,
solid with his numbers.
Yes.
If they're playing from behind, you're going to see them padded like they were yesterday, because you saw him get involved in a shootout with the Packers in the playoffs. So that's why I like Dak Prescott a lot as a fantasy quarterback. Just yesterday, like Corey said, though, they were not used to this. What Dallas wants to do is they want to dominate the clock and keep their defense off the field. And it was just totally reversed.
Oh, Scott, I think you were right buying Prescott in that trade. I still like Dak Prescott. Look, it was a terrible... The Cowboys aren't as bad as they were yesterday, you know. And going forward, they do have a tough schedule this year. It kind of happens when you have a first-place schedule and you have to play the AFC West. You know, the AFC West is a tough division.
Very tough division.
There really isn't anybody there that's going to give you an easy pass.
No, absolutely not. Speaking of the AFC West, Scott Engel has survived to week number 2. He picked the Oakland Raiders as his survivor pick. And, Scott, you have survived.
Yeah, it was pretty much, you know, going against the Jets. It was kind of a chalky pick more than week 1.
Well, yes, yeah. Yes. Even still, you have to get the job done, and you did. Remember, Scott plays Survivor over at FantasyFactor.com, and if you're new to Daily Fantasy Sports, you should go to FantasyFactor.com as well. Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller fields, and single-entry contests only. Fantasy Factor is running a $50 weekly NFL contest that is a free entry. Sign up and enter at FantasyFactor.com. Sign up right now. Yes, it was an easy win for you yesterday, Scotty, with the Raiders. At no point where you're really nervous about this game. 45-20, Oakland dominated. Derek Carr threw for 3 touchdowns. Marshawn Lynch is in his return to Oakland. He scores a touchdown, 12 carries, 45 yards. I talked about this at the beginning of the show. But yes, he wasn't needed in the second half. Yes, he was dancing around on the sidelines being Marshawn Lynch. But just 12 carries, was on the bike after I believe scoring a touchdown, and we did not see him, I believe I'm correct, in the second half. It was a ton of Jalen Richard, who, much like Chris Thompson, every time he touches the ball, he looks really, really good too. Cordero Patterson scored a touchdown rushing yesterday. But Marshawn Lynch has looked good-ish. But yesterday was kind of a reminder to me that this is an old dude here.
Yeah, well, they want to manage his reps, and they didn't need him after the 12 carries. So why put him out there, you know, risk anything happening to a 31-year-old guy who's had a lot of carries? But on his 12 carries, look, he looked good again yesterday. And Carr, so all three of his touchdowns to Michael Crabtree yesterday. You know, Carr is, you know, he's looking like a QB1 early again this season.
Yeah, he is. And Derek Carr is funny because nobody in the fantasy, not nobody, but like the fantasy, the community was down on him, right? Like he was like the 15th quarterback, something like
that.
Well,
no, he was in that range. People liked him. People liked him in that 10 to 13 range in a lot of places. So people liked him. It's a guy people were trying to get. They weren't pulling him up the board like they were doing Mariota and Jameis.
Okay, fair enough.
I had him eighth, though. I liked him.
Okay. Yeah. Well, someone I liked was Michael Crabtree. I don't think you want to give me the credit for it, but it's fine.
Good job.
Good job.
Appreciate it, man. Yeah. Michael Crabtree was the guy that I really liked. And I went in, and Corey knows that, like, I was going to draft Michael Crabtree no matter what. Like, he was the one guy at an auction, and I said I was thinking Michael Crabtree because I was sick of just letting this guy go for very little and watching him score touchdowns. Yesterday was another example of that. 6 receptions, 80 yards, and 3 touchdowns. You know, in week 1, we saw Oakland pepper up Amari Cooper with targets around the end zone, and yet one worked. The other ones, he dropped 3 in a row. Yesterday, they got away from that and instead just peppered Michael Crabtree, and he obviously converted all 3.
Amari Cooper did get a red zone target. He just couldn't stay in bounds on that play. So for Amari Cooper owners, that's still good. You still want to see that, but it was King Crab Day yesterday.
Absolutely.
It was, but like last week, you know, he catches one or two of those other red zone targets. Yeah, last week was a Cooper game. This week's a Crabtree game, and it could vary going forward.
But when
and some weeks it could be both, depending on the matchup.
But this was the matchup to be both, right? It was the Jets.
It was.
You know? So this was the matchup to be both.
Crabtree with 3 touchdowns, obviously the other guy's going to suffer. So
sure.
Yeah.
But I asked the same question. You're paying top dollar for Amari Cooper. You're getting Michael Crabtree in the 4th and the 5th round. Why?
Cooper's still going to have a better season.
We'll see, man. 3 touchdowns yesterday, of course, for Michael Crabtree. We'll talk about the one player you may want to own in the Jets when we come back on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Hey, this is Greg Sussman from the Roto Experts in the Morning. And listen, we can all use a little help sometimes. That's why I talk to 3 guys every single day that help me with my fantasy teams. But if you need help with your fantasy teams, and you probably do, you should purchase the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football In-Season Package, featuring weekly lineup ranks, chats with our experts every single day, and player cards for every player in the NFL, including reports from InsideInjuries.com. You cannot beat it. Don't set your lineups without checking the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge In-Season Package. We are back here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts here in the morning. Now, the New York Jets, obviously dumpster fire. You know that. But you thought you could be able to rely on Bilal Powell. You have not even come close to being able to rely on Bilal Powell through the first couple of weeks. But the one Jet that has been reliable has been former Seahawks Jermaine Kearse. After getting traded right toward the end of the summer, Kearse has been the number one wide receiver for New York. 4 catches, 64 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Corey, you started him in 2 leagues yesterday. How reliable do you think he'll be going forward?
I think I'm going to be able to do that going forward a lot more. I started him over T.Y. Hilton yesterday. I think that at a wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4 in that area, if you start 3 wides in a flex, you can get Jermaine Kearse into that lineup. If you start 2 wides in a flex, I'm not sure. But if you have the option of rostering 4 wide receivers, Jermaine Kearse can be in your lineup.
With Kearse, it's interesting because so far after 2 weeks, it looked like the trade has worked out for both sides NFL-wise.
Certainly.
Richardson has played well for Seattle, and Kearse has played well for the Jets.
Plus the pick the Jets will get.
Right. And the reason is I think Josh McCown feels like that guy is a veteran receiver.
Yeah.
You know, has been through a lot, and he's savvy, and he feels like maybe he's the only guy that can trust on the, field. The only thing I worry about with Kearse, though, is he's never been a consistent playmaker, and now when defenses start to watch film and how much they're going to double team him, how much they're going to try to take him out. So I think, as the cliche goes, the jury is still out on Kearse. But in a deeper league, if you got somebody injured, you could certainly roll him out there.
Corey, yesterday, Emery was talking about Elijah McGuire, and 6 carries, 29 yards. Not really much. Is it a dude that we need to stash or start knowing about?
Probably make a dollar, make you holler right now. Maybe you want to get ahead of your league mates on him. But I think at some point in this season, he's going to be a guy that we're going to be running to the waiver wire to get. And at some point during the season, you're going to be putting him in lineups. So I think it's time to stash him now.
Well, here's the thing with the Jets. I think right now it's pretty obvious that they're trying to showcase Matt Forte and get whatever they can get with him. Bilal Powell is talented, but, it's just tough when you have when a team is that bad, you need so many things to go your way. And I agree with Corey. It looks like it's going to be McGuire at some point. And I'm just, how long do the Jets go with the Forte thing? Because I think it's evident that they're looking to move him for anything.
Yeah, I think that's obvious. It's funny because I didn't think so when they gave him the ball repeatedly in the preseason. I'm like, yeah. Then you guys talked him right into the real reason he was getting the ball in the preseason. So yes, you were right. They need to trade. They want to trade Matt Forte for legitimately anything here. Matt, you've been searching for a highlight all morning. You finally found it, and that was when the Bills lost to Carolina by the score of 9-3 as Tyrod Taylor missed Zay Jones. It was Tyrod Taylor's fault for a game winning touchdown. Taylor was not good passing the ball yesterday, 125 yards. But this Carolina defense is for real. He did rush for 55 yards rushing. If you own LeSean McCoy, you got 8 carries for 55 yards. Saved the day in the PPR with 6 catches for 34. He led this team in targets. Charles Clay against a very good linebacking crew in Carolina only had 3 catches for 30 yards total. Third strike, 3 for 23 total. Scott, what'd you make of this Bills offense yesterday?
Yeah, it's just, it was pretty much Tyrod Taylor, both of these quarterbacks, trying to find people open, and even more for Taylor than for Newton. It was just nobody was open. He had to take off and run, et cetera. That's a good front seven that was really able to just easily key into Tyrod Taylor and on LeSean McCoy, and then Taylor really had nowhere to go.
Hey, look, that's a tough defense. It's at I thought the Bills were going to get smashed yesterday. I really did, but the Carolina offense did not get it done.
By the way, that's another coordinator facing his former team, and Sean McDermott facing the Carolina Panthers.
And honestly, that does make a difference. Those players are going to be going all out for that guy. That's their new head coach and stuff. But, look, McCoy with 12 rushes, 9 yards, that's, as you said, the passing game bailed him out there. But the thing is, the Bills are hoping to hopefully move on from Tyrod Taylor. This seems evident, too.
Yes.
This regime,
what's all they can do with this game?
Yeah, it really doesn't.
It's transitional. They're
more than happy to put Peterman in there, see what they got from him, and then probably move on from Peterman as well. So, but Zay Jones should not be, from what I had heard originally, he dropped an easy touchdown pass. That was not the case.
No.
And he probably gets touchdown. He probably doesn't even make it in the end zone if he catches that ball, too.
You put a better ball on him, he scores a touchdown, no problem. Obviously, that wasn't it. On the other side, Corey, Carolina, Cam Newton throws for 228 yards. But he seemed off tune to me yesterday, man.
Yeah, he didn't. That offense doesn't look right yet.
He does not look in sync to me.
Yeah, that offense doesn't look right yet. He's probably still lingering a little bit of effects from that injury, so he's probably banged up and beat up a little bit. Now you got Olsen out with the broken foot. Stewart still probably getting the ball a little bit too much. McCaffrey didn't really come through like people wanted him to yesterday. I don't think they had that thing figured out yet.
I think so, too.
He took some coverage sacks, too, with
He doesn't look totally healthy.
No, there certainly was the receivers were not getting open consistently either. That didn't help.
Well, offensively for Carolina, it was a major disappointment on every level. Calvin Benjamin had an insane matchup yesterday for him. Calvin Benjamin owners are going to be disappointed.
6 for 77 total for Calvin Benjamin. You thought that would go up with the loss of Greg Olsen. Olsen, 1 catch, 10 yards before breaking his foot yesterday. I don't know if it's a season ender.
No. It's not 6 weeks.
Six weeks for Greg Olsen. Very significant, obviously.
He's never missed. This would be.
Yeah, it's been a very long time.
He's been like the iron.
I think he hasn't missed a game in at least six years. And his NFL career, he's only missed one game.
Yeah, he's been pretty much, you could just stamp him down for 16 games, 80 receptions.
Yeah.
So brutal. It's a brutal loss for him. I know a lot of people are off Greg Olsen this year just for not because of, because Greg Olsen, because of the offense.
Because of the way Carolina offense looked yesterday, that was exactly like people were off him coming in.
That had nothing to do with him, obviously. No, as a player, it's about the offense. It's a brutal loss for him. You could see how emotional he was after breaking his foot. He knew it was a serious injury. So this offense is going to have to figure out other ways, and you have to imagine that starts with Christian McCaffrey. Yesterday, McCaffrey only had 4 receptions for 34 yards. 8 carries, 10 yards from McCaffrey. Jay Stu did a 15 for 40. If you're a Jordan Howard owner, like moi, is Jonathan Stewart a guy you go target?
Straight up?
Maybe.
Not straight up.
I mean, okay, fine. Is Jonathan Stewart somebody you go target as a piece to go get to replace him right now?
Yes.
Because he's like a gettable dude.
He's very gettable. I think that you're making a great point. You could get him. He's not going to cost you a lot because the owner thinks he's old anyway, which he is.
Correct.
And, you know, he's coming off a 15 for 40 game. I thought Jonathan Stewart was going to have 2 touchdowns yesterday.
Yeah.
The guy I would buy if I can get at a discount right now is CMC. Go after Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
You can buy low on him. I think that's a...
So I think the problem with Christian McCaffrey is that he's simply too sexy still. Like, we're too close to the draft where an owner played a lot of money for him that you got to trade Christian McCaffrey away. I think the Jonathan Stewart owner wanted nothing to do with Jonathan Stewart from the beginning, so you have a better shot.
No, you made a great point.
Look, it's a pure timeshare. You know, and McCaffrey's got to make the most of every touch, and it just didn't happen yesterday because it was disappointing because you felt like the matchup was really, really good.
Yeah, I think so too. I think you're right. It was different. It's a difficult day for the entire Carolina offense. Ultimately, brought down even farther in regards to Greg Olsen breaking his foot. So the offense is out of sync. They lost their best player. Not a great day in the win for Carolina. Although their defense does look absolutely excellent here at the moment.
Defense bounced back real nice this season so far.
Yeah, they have. Another defense has bounced back really nicely this far. It's been Baltimore. Baltimore's defense has just been superb through the first 2 weeks of the year. Defeating Cleveland yesterday 24-10. It was Joe Flacco throwing for 217 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an INT. Buck Allen led this team in rushing with 14 carries, 66 yards. Buck also had 5 receptions for 35 yards and a touchdown. Much like Tariq Cohen, they were the top 2 pickups last week, Scott, and they don't let you down in week 2.
Yeah, Buck definitely delivered. He outsnapped and outplayed Terrence West, and he should continue to do that going forward. Flacco put up the ball 34 times. Ben Watson thought he was back in New Orleans there for a week, and Jeremy Maclin caught another touchdown. 2 weeks, 2 touchdowns for Jeremy Maclin.
Yeah, Jeremy Maclin did find the end zone here once again. 4 for 31. I had a touchdown total. It was Ben Watson, though, Corey, leading this team in receiving. 8 catches, 91 yards on 8 targets. Is Ben Watson a thing?
Yeah, you got to go pick Ben Watson up. Joe Flacco loves to throw the football to the tight end. When he's targeting a tight end like that after complaining about not throwing the football enough, he gets a chance to put the ball in the air more, and he starts going right to his tight end. You got to pick him up. In 12
Corey
team
was
leagues.
The only one to mention Ben Watson in the entire fantasy industry this summer.
Yeah, Ben Watson. I mean, he likes to throw the football to the tight end. It's probably his favorite guy on the field to target is the tight end.
Well, last year the problem was with the tight end. He threw it to Dennis Pitta 1,000 times.
But it was for 2 yards.
Right. Yeah. Correct. So,
Dennis Pitta couldn't move, though.
So
Ben Watson, even though he's elderly,
like 47 years old.
He can move, though. You feel what I'm saying? It's different.
So Ben Watson, you're saying, is a thing.
You got to pick him up. 12-team league, you pick him up.
Would you rather have Ben Watson or Charles Clay?
I'd rather have Ben Watson.
You'd rather have Ben Watson? Yeah. Okay. Would you rather have Evan Ingram or
Charles
Ben Watson?
Clay not going to be able to move soon. Evan Ingram, I don't know what Evan Ingram is.
Okay. All right. On the other side of things for Cleveland, DeShone Kizer left this game with a migraine. Came back in and it was shocked me because I figured it was like a concussion with this migraine. But he comes back in. I guess he pops some Advil. Is that how this works?
They did something in that medical tent, you know.
3 interceptions for DeShone Kizer. Not a good day for him. Kevin Hogan was the backup. Cody Kessler's really falling down this depth chart. But Kevin Hogan, former Stanford quarterback, comes in and throws a touchdown. He throws an interception in his own right. But the story of the day for Cleveland was Rashard Higgins, who had 7 receptions for 95 yards. Is Rashard Higgins a thing, Scott?
I think he is. They promote him off the practice squad. And, you know, now with Corey Coleman with the injury.
Broken hand so somebody's for Corey
gotta,
Coleman for the
somebody's
got to
step forward there. I thought they might give Kason Williams a shot, but it's going to be Higgins. And it's going to be interesting because I heard no one talking about Higgins like before, and now he's going to come out of nowhere and it's going to be a hot pickup.
Do you is he the guy this week to pick up?
I think a lot of people are going to chase it, but you know he kind of came out of nowhere. I
11
think
11 targets yesterday.
You can put up those kind of numbers when you come in the game and they're not expecting you. If they're preparing for you, then I got to see what Higgins does.
Especially with the broken hand for Coleman.
Yeah, I mean, this is interesting. Kenny Britt.
Oy.
One catch.
Not existent.
2 yards. Duke Johnson, 359. Good Duke, dude.
Duke had a pretty good day.
What's up, more? Duke Johnson, Isaiah Crowell. Continue on around the NFL. So we're rest of the morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Ezekiel Elliott. Carl Anthony Towns. Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes. Scotty, so you mentioned a second ago you thought Duke Johnson had a nice solid fantasy day yesterday. 3 catches, 59 yards, rush for 4 carries and 21 yards. That is obviously about 80 yards total. So that's 8 points right there. PPR, you got 3 more. That's about 11 points for Duke Johnson, which is fine. I agree. But Duke Johnson, man, this dude ain't nothing.
You can't put him in any lineup. Any confidence in your lineup, though. But you do have to wonder, though. I can see why you have no confidence, though. But with all the receiving issues that they're having, you know, is Johnson still going to have some appeal?
Is Duke Johnson having appeal? I think, sure. I don't want Duke Johnson, Corey.
I mean, I feel what you're saying. You talked me into it.
Get the F out of here.
But even with you talking me into it, I had him in the lineup yesterday. I got lucky. Scored 11
That's
points.
I got lucky.
I got lucky.
You got lucky.
I wasn't expecting 11.
You got unlucky with him, Isaiah Crowell. 10 carries, 37 yards.
He hasn't looked good so far this season.
He's not
through the first 2 weeks, the yards per carries under 4. You know, you're getting not used on the goal line. Deshaun Kaiser's getting that work. I think it's going to turn around. I'm being patient with Crowell. I have no choice.
I really don't think you have a choice at this point with Isaiah Crowell. It's just a way to this out. Obviously, the matchup was terrible. I'm not saying it wasn't. But he's been bad at first. He's just bad.
Yeah, he
that's what he got.
He has been. You know,
Greg, it's been bad so far, Greg. It's going to turn around.
he hasn't cracked 40 yards yet at rushing. And, you know, you say the matchups have been tough, but, you know,
with Crowell,
you're supposed to do better regardless what the matchup is. The schedule is going to clear up for him now, and he's got to take advantage of that.
It's got to be game script, though. This team is falling behind too fast.
Yeah, it's the same thing as last year, too. That played a role in killing him off in last year, too, with game script. And I just, you know, I like him okay as a talent. I don't think, you know, he's a spectacular talent, but he still has to prove that if he's got a tough matchup that, you know, that he can shine.
Well, let me ask this guy's. Another guy's been let down in the first 2 weeks. It's been Larry Fitzgerald. And despite Arizona winning a brutal, disgusting game against the Indianapolis Colts, Larry Fitzgerald, nothing. 3 for 21, 6 targets. Who would you rather have going forward, Larry Fitzgerald or Isaiah Crowell?
Larry Fitzgerald in the PPR. He's still going to get the targets anyway.
Yesterday's game, though, was very concerning in that regard, because you felt like it was a great matchup.
Yep.
But, you know, J.J. Nelson was just everywhere yesterday. He made one spectacular catch.
Certainly
like
did.
One of the highlights of the year. And then Carson Palmer threw a perfect pass to him on the touchdown. I think they have to do that, though, in order to make defenses respect. Like defenses are going to say, okay, let's take away Fitzgerald. But then Palmer's going to say, okay, I'm going to go to Nelson. That's going to open up things for Fitzgerald again. So I'll say Fitzgerald.
Yeah, I think that one's close to me. Both guys are underwhelming. Let me ask you this, Matt Modiga. Who would you rather have going forward, Larry Fitzgerald or Mark Ingram?
Larry Fitzgerald or Mark Ingram? I'm going to go Mark Ingram. I mean, Fitzgerald was really disappointing yesterday. And the narrative's always been you want Fitzgerald in the first half of the season versus the second. I understand he's still the guy. I'm really down on this offense. I said the Colts would cover on Saturday night, and the Colts really should have won that game.
They should have. Absolutely.
They had plenty of opportunities. Look, they're playing at a major handicap right now. But even though Carson Palmer, fantasy-wise, had a good day, it's, you know, there's not really good signs coming out of it.
Larry Fitzgerald or Isaiah Crowell?
I love Crowell this weekend, I'll say that. I think things are going to get a lot better for Crowell. You drafted him pretty much, some people, for an RB1 or an RB2. I think better days lie ahead for Crowell. I'm going to say Crowell as well.
All right, so there you go. J.J. Nelson had 5 for 120, as Scott mentioned, a spectacular catch for a touchdown. Running game-wise, there was no running game for Arizona on Sunday. Chris Johnson led the team with 11 carries, 44 yards. Kerwin Williams was the one guy he picked up over the weekend. It did not work out for you. 9 carries, 22 yards. Andre Ellington had 3 catches, but only had 3 carries for 6 yards.
Yeah, Kerwin Williams has got to be very disappointed.
He had a shot. He started. Had a shot.
There is really nobody there who's going to step forward. It's going to put a lot of pressure on Palmer and the passing game where they just have Fitzgerald and Nelson. This team's going to be easy to defend. Carson Palmer's going to have a tough road ahead.
When we come back, we open up on television. It's hour number 3, and we start it off with Sunday Night Football, Green Bay and Atlanta. That can come your way next on the Road to Experts in the Morning.